Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Oh man, we were talking about this gambling thing off air. We got it. You know what we need? In Cleveland, those two slappies, our guy Ken Carman, they do a podcast outside of their show so they can talk about all the stuff that they couldn't talk about on the air. We need a podcast.
We do.
But not for free. Not for free. I mean, make some money. Fan Hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. We are joined right now on that Fan Hotline by our Steelers insider, Mark Cabali. Mark, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Wait a second. Who is this?
You're all bummed out. We haven't had you on the last couple of weeks. Well, it's draft time and we need you now. How's your colon doing, by the way, Mark? How's your colon doing? How'd that colonoscopy go?
It's not going very well.
Oh, no.
It's having some issues here.
Well, I'm sorry I brought that up. I'm sorry you're dealing with issues, and I'm sorry I have brought this radio show to a screeching halt. Why don't we just talk about the draft? Let's do, you know what, draft talk. So, Mark, you say you could see the Steelers trading up in round one to find a tackle of their liking. Man, every mock that I've seen, they've got good options there at 20. Why would they want to move up?
Well, it'd have to be a specific person they really like. I mean, there's a handful of guys I think they would move up to be able to grab. I mean, if you're telling me J.C. Latham's there at 18, 17, I'm going up and getting him. I know a guy who's your favorite that I just heard was Troy Fautanu. If he's there at 16, 17, they go up and get him. So there's potential there, depending on who they like. I mean, that's all the you have to play the draft board too. I mean, everybody sits here and talks about they're going to take this mock, whatever, whatever. You know, you better have about four or five guys you're in love with at that 20 position that you're able to feel very good to go able to go draft. So that's the problem right there. If you feel good about going up and get them, that's good. If not, you stick where you're at. I don't see him going back at all. But it would have to be the right person to move up to get. And who knows how that first 19, 17 picks will go. I mean, there could be somebody there like last year, Broderick Jones, that says, we love this guy. If it's Graham Barton, I don't know, then I'm going to go get him. So, yeah, I could see them trading up to do something like that to get somebody they really, really love.
Mark, could you see them doing something that we haven't been talking about? Like, we talk about tackle. We talk about center. We talk about wide receiver. We talk about corner. Could you see them doing something at 20 like a Brock Bowers if he fell to them, and that could kind of serve as the receiver, tight end, playmaker role?
Wow, coming from a tight end, huh?
Well, you figure.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think so. I think they're kind of pretty much entrenched at that position right now. They got five on the roster right now. I don't think that they would go the that route right there.
Well, say a defensive tackle then. Just a different position that we talking about.
It would have to be, once again, a specific guy like Byron Jones. If he's there, of course, I'm going to get him, something like that, where I would draft him. But you just have to look at those pre-draft meetings and see what pre-draft visits and see what they brought in. What is it, 16 offensive linemen, which was tackles and mostly tackles and centers, six or seven cornerbacks, six or seven wide receivers. I mean, that's day one, day two right there in my mind that they're really focusing in on. So it could happen, of course, but I think you're looking still at offensive tackle as the need that they want, something that they want to address in the first round. Then after that, maybe you can move up in a second and get your center, depending on who's there. Now, that's what makes that first round interesting, too. It all depends, too. If you're going to get a Graham Barton, you're going to get a Fatanu. That's a guy that they can – plays multiple positions, okay? I know Fatanu, I think I mispronounced his name six times now.
Me too, buddy.
He said at the combine, I remember him saying that he's open to anything, but everybody's going to say they're open to everything.
Well, he also said, Mark, that he thinks when people say he should play inside in the NFL, he's called that lazy analysis. Like, he sees himself more as a tackle. Okay, so you've got Latham out of Duke. You've got Troy Fontanu. Oh, my God, I just butchered even more there. Like, both guys are multiple position capable. How do you think the Steelers view those guys, and do they need a center? Do they think they need a center that steps in and plays day one? Because if you do, I don't see either of them being an option.
No, probably not an option right away, but who knows? I mean, Marquise Pouncey wasn't an option, too, until he got to training camp and you realized 3 days in. Look what they did. I mean, I'm going back to the 80s now, but Dermoni Dawson, he's in Hall of Fame center, and he played that first year at guard because they weren't going to bounce Mike Webster out of there at that point. So it gives them options right now. If they go that route, if they want a guy that can play the five positions, where you can grab Graham Barton right now and not necessarily play him at center. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you play him at center, but the long-term solution is at tackle. Maybe the Fatanu is a center early. Then maybe, you know, say Amalu's 30 years old. Dan Moore's in the final year of his deal. You kick him outside. I don't know if I would go that route, considering it's a first-round pick, a top 15 to 20 pick, depends if you move around. I want somebody who's a stud in my eyes. I want a stud right tackle. I want a stud left tackle. I want a stud center. Maybe not center. I don't know if center is that valuable at 20 overall in my estimation, whatever that word is. I think you can move up in the second round to get the guy that you're looking for right there. But this all harkens back to, why are you getting rid of Mason Cole until you have to get rid of him? I mean, maybe the Connor Williams thing in September is an option if everything falls through. But we have to remember, too, they got Quan Alexander in August last year for peanuts, and he was pretty doggone good. So I think they have that mindset. If things don't work out, they might be able to go poach somebody off that free agency market coming off of an injury late in the process and have him play.
Well, I mean, those are two different positions, Mark. I mean, it's harder to bring in a center late in free agency or late in the summer and ask him to hit the ground running, learn a new offense, and then get on the same page with Russell Wilson, then ask a linebacker to go in there and make some tackles. Like, I get what you're saying, but that's tough.
But the one thing is, I don't know how much you would have to put on a young center when you got a 30-year-old vet guard, a very good right guard, James Daniels, who's been playing for 6-7 years now, and a veteran like Russell Wilson. How much do you have to ask him to do other than snap the ball and block the guy to the right, to the left, or in front of you at this point of his career? So that might be early in that season. So that might be the thought, too, that you don't have to ask him to call out protections because, you know, you got a bunch of veterans just eternally surrounding him right there.
Brandon Ayuk or Cortland Sutton, yes or no?
I would say probably not. How about let's throw Chris Godwin in there. How about that one?
I would love that.
We talked about that like a month and a half ago. A little birdie said, just pay attention to Chris Godwin. That is that something that you've heard, Mark, or is that just a name you're throwing against the wall?
I'm just speculating because they have a ton of money tied up in Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and that's how a lot of things go nowadays. And I'm not pretending like I'm breaking news or hearing anything. People put one and one together and say, well, Steelers need a wide receiver. Oh, look at this. This guy's in the final year of his deal. He's getting paid $27 million. He would count $20 million against the cap from the Buccaneers, so why not do that? How about Brandon Cooks out of Dallas, too? I mean, he's a guy who's a free agent next year. They might be willing to move on. Once again, I'm just spitballing here if there's potential guys out there, but that's a position to me. I mean, I know center's number one that they have to address. I mean, they just have to, in my opinion. They have to address it. But number not far behind that has to be that number two receiver. I mean, I don't want to see George Pickens getting doubled every single time. And that's what's going to happen. I don't care if Quez Watkins, Marquez Callaway, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, Cordero Patterson, whoever's out there, they're going to double George Pickens. And George Pickens is not going to get the ball. George Pickens is going to cause problems. You need somebody to step in at that number two and at least prevent that from happening from time to time.
Mark, we appreciate your time as always, buddy. Good luck with the colon.
All right, it's all clean now.
Goodbye, Mark. Mark Caboli, our Steelers insider from The Athletic. A bunch to chew on there from him. What might it cost to get Brandon Ayuk out of San Francisco? Another Steelers insider threw a potential trade out there. We'll dissect that. What does this all mean for George Pickens? That's next. You can text us, 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We'll get to our Fan Morning Show Twitter poll coming up at 9:30. Brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Right now, though, we got to react to what Mark Caboli said in the last segment. Our Steelers insider from The Athletic. He said, you got to find a number two wide receiver. Because consider the world where it's George Pickens as your one, and Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins as your two and your three. However which way you want to order those guys. And I do think they're NFL receivers, and they can be a good addition to this club. But then my mind started racing. I have thought about this mostly just from a between-the-lines football standpoint. You need to have another threat out there who can be a game-breaker, because if not, they're just going to take George Pickens out of the game. Well, the domino effect there could be a massive one. We know how he acted last year with the social media stuff. We know what happened with Deontay Johnson. If he's not getting the ball, if he's consistently getting double teamed, if he got no help out there, he's going to be a problem again, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You do need a number two, but they may see it as our number two is Pat Freiermuth.
That would be a very Arthur Smith way of thinking. I'll grant you that.
Or Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris out of the backfield. I mean, they may look at it like that and be like, well, we're fine. But, I mean, that's just – I mean, they're the same team that, as we sit here right now, have Nate Herbig as their center.
Right.
And Dante Jackson as their corner.
Right.
So they're telling us everything that we need to know, that they are fine with where the roster sits. Now, I mean, it's a lot of moves need to be made and should have been made, and – it's a lot harder to negotiate and do things, and this is just where they're at. But right now, if they had to play a season, to play a game,
they're in trouble.
Yeah,
they're in trouble. And you can make the argument for a lot of teams around the NFL. We're not saying all is lost. You know, people earlier on the text line were saying, oh, relax, it's April, blah, blah, blah. Look, we're just telling you like it is right now, or at least the way that we see it. And the way that we see it is they've got a lot of holes, and you only have so many avenues at this point to correct those holes, to fill those holes. When Caboli was talking about how they feel like, you know, Dan Moore Jr. could be their left tackle, and that, you know, they have guys at each of these positions, and if they don't, well, they can go off the scrap heap in August and get a guy like Quan Alexander. That's not a plan, though. That is making best. That's making chicken salad out of you know what.
That's plan B, not plan A.
That might be plan C, D, or right. E. And they can tell us whatever they want, and they can do it through Dulac. They can do it through whomever beat writer. Oh, we feel comfortable about Herbig here, or this guy there, or Dante Jackson at corner. What they've showed us is what I choose to believe, not what they're telling us in press conferences at the combine or anytime they get up in front of a podium. They tell us through their moves how they view their roster. And when they had Mitch Morrison on day one of free agency, that tells you they're not as comfortable with Nate Herbig at starting center as they would want you to believe. They never should have let that guy get out the door. Whatever he got paid elsewhere, find a way to pay him more. Now, it's a two-way street, and a player ultimately can make that decision for himself. All things being equal, you can always choose the other team. I get that. That's the way the real world works. But they told us when they had him in there as a priority that that position's a priority.
They had him in, like, what, a day after Russ?
He was one of the first couple of guys that they had in.
But they didn't sign Russ or anything yet, right?
I don't believe that that had happened.
I don't believe it happened. Maybe if you're a free agent player and you look at the quarterback situation with Kenny Pickett at the time, you know, that could have been the deciding factor
good
for
point.
Mitch Morse. And if Russ would have had been signed, maybe that changes things for Mitch Morse.
Yeah, could absolutely have. I'd have to go back and look at the timeline.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think Russ was official.
No.
If anything, there might have been reports.
Right.
But even then, what are you believing if you're Morse? Who knows? I mean, you want to hear it from the horse's mouth. The other thing is, Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson, this hodgepodge, frankly, of nothingness at wide receiver other than George Pickens, they're telling us, based on what has been reported, that they want another receiver. That they want a guy like Brandon Ayuk. National people, local people have talked about they are pounding the phones trying to get another wide receiver in here. They also, who is it, Mike Williams, that they had a visit scheduled with, and then he winds up signing with the New York Jets. So they want another receiver. They can tell us through how whoever they want to, the only hole we really think we have is center. Or the only hole we really think we have is name one, defensive line, whatever. They're telling you through the moves that they tried to make what they really view of their roster. And so I need to see them get a wide receiver before the draft. That seems to be the most realistic position they can upgrade before this thing starts next Thursday, is wide receiver.
Or during.
During's a possibility. You asked about Courtland Sutton, or Mark brought Courtland Sutton up. You and I were talking about him earlier. That screams draft day trade to me. I don't know that he's got a ton of suitors. He hasn't proven a ton. He's been an off-injured guy, but he's got talent.
I think he had 10 touchdowns last year.
Did he have 10 touchdowns last season?
I'm pretty sure. And that's a familiar teammate for Russ.
He did have 10 touchdowns last year.
I mean, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, 772 yards. He did have 1,000 yards in his second year in the league. All right, so unproven's a bad word. I know that I had been burned by him in fantasy before.
Right.
Just get one done then before the draft. Get one done. Because if you do not, again, there's too many holes. You cannot fill every hole on this roster only through the draft.
And you have money to spend.
That's a very frustrating part of this.
Nine?
12.
12?
12.
Yeah, I would anticipate within the next week that something has to go. I mean, what are you going to do with the money? I mean, you got your draft picks, but like...
They like to go in, or at least Colbert did like to go into the season with a certain amount of cap space just so you can make roster moves because of injuries and things of that nature.
What, like 8 million?
I mean, you don't...
7 million?
Right, you don't need that much. And Brandon Ayuk, that's the one that makes sense to me then from a financial standpoint, because he's going to cost you $14 million this year, and you can work it out cap-wise to get that guy in.
Highsmith, redo something.
Restructuring with any of these guys. I'd have to look at who they've restructured this offseason. They don't always make that kind of stuff public. They can fit Brandon Ayuk. What would it cost to get him? One Steelers insider took a stab at that yesterday. We'll react to it. Would we pay the price? Going to get to our Fan Morning Show Twitter poll coming up in a couple of minutes, but Dulac's chat yesterday, we've pulled a lot from that for today's show. So thank you, Dulac. Appreciate it. He was asked about the parameters on a hypothetical Brandon Ayuk trade, and the person who asked the question threw a potential trade out there, and Dulac countered with this. The 20th pick from the Steelers for the 31st pick and Brandon Ayuk. And then the Steelers would also throw in a 2025 second-round pick.
So you get the 31st and Brandon Ayuk.
Yes.
I would absolutely do that.
I think I would do it too.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talked about him and what you'd have to pay him this year. You also have to consider that you'd have to pay him a contract after that. Now, it wouldn't affect the cap this year. In fact, that's probably how you would make it work cap-wise this year, because the front of the deal wouldn't be worth as much as the end. We know what Omar Khan's doing as it relates to the salary cap manipulations and machinations there. I'm inclined to say I would do that too. Like, if it were just this year's first-round pick, I don't think I'm doing it. If it's a second-round pick from this year, I'm not doing it. But to still retain a place in the first round of the draft, and you have to give up a future second-round draft pick, I'm good with it, man. Because what you've done then is you have solidified your receiver room. You have a good 1-2 punch, a very good 1-2 punch. I think Ayuk is Deontay Johnson, not literally, but he's Deontay Johnson on steroids. And then you should have a better running game with Arthur Smith, blah, blah, and you've got then George Pickens, who could be your deep receiving threat. So you've fixed wide receiver. You've upgraded there. You've upgraded over Deontay Johnson. You still have a pick in the first round. 31st is probably where you're going to find a center anyhow. And then you still have two third-round picks. You have a fourth-round pick.
You have your second round.
And you have your second-round pick at 51. And what you could do as well, Doran, is they moved up in the draft last year to get Broderick Jones from 17 to 14. All that cost was the 120th pick. They have 119. So you could even see them, if they made that hypothetical Ayuk deal and they could jump up to get a tackle that they liked, maybe you give up a fourth-round pick and you move ahead a couple of spots from 31st down to 28 or something like that. I'm in for it, man.
I'm in for it for one reason. I mean, I'm like almost 100% in for that if that would be the deal. I know for a fact, like not for a fact, but like 98% in my body, in my intuition, I know that there's going to be tackles or centers on the draft board that if you wanted to draft them in the first round that are going to fall to have first round evaluations, or that you can get a 31. I feel like somebody like Amarius Mims, somebody is going to get pushed to 31 that has a draft grade of being maybe even a middle to lower middle first
round.
There's
always fallers.
And I'd be comfortable with that. You're still getting a quality player that you could have taken at 20. You're going to get him at 31, and you get Brandon Ayuk. I think that a lot of guys are going to fall in this draft because it's so top-heavy at the positions that the Steelers need.
I agree with that. What I'm always worried about is the actual falling of tackles, because everyone needs tackles. Every year, everyone needs tackles. And so my worry is the tackles get overdrafted, not underdrafted. But a guy like Mims is so polarizing because he's got the talent, which is enticing. It's like top 10 talent. He's 6'8", but he's also such a project with such little time.
That's why
played.
He's getting evaluated where he's getting evaluated. He's top 10 talent, but like, he's going to fall because people are scared that he's going to be too much of a project.
I mean, I would do it because the way I look at it is Brandon Ayuk, bang, fills a need. Fills a need, you still get a first-round pick. Whoever you take at 31 fills a need.
Yeah.
So you get, or if you trade it up from 31, you get it. So you fill a need with Ayuk, you fill a need then at 31st, if you swap with the 49ers, You fill a need at 51. You fill a need with your 2 third-round picks. And then the rest of the draft, whatever, it's cake. And not all these guys are going to work out. That's not the way it works. But I could go to bed on Sunday night after or Saturday after this draft is done. And if you've traded for Ayuk, I can see how they would have addressed all their positions of need. If you do not make a deal and get a wide receiver, I have a hard time thinking, oh, they're gonna fit all their needs. Like, here's a tweet I just got. Trading for Ayuk does not make sense. I don't understand why this is continually talked about. Draft a receiver, don't sacrifice draft capital. If you draft a receiver, you're using draft capital on a receiver. If you trade for a wide receiver, you have then filled your receiver role, and you don't then need to use other draft capital on another position of need. I don't care how you get good. I don't care how you fill needs. I don't care how you round out your roster. You do need to fill out your roster. So whether that's through trades utilizing draft capital or if it's using your draft picks on positions of need, there are multiple ways to skin the cat here. You don't often find great players that are attainable like Brandon Ayuk is right now. When it was Minkah Fitzpatrick, they jumped on it.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields, they jumped on it. This would be jumping on an opportunity here, and you would solidify your wide receiver room.
I mean, we talk about George Pickens getting double-teamed. I mean, if you draft a receiver at some point, it's not going to be in the first round. If I'm a defense, that person, that number two that you drafted in the second round, say, that person doesn't scare me. Like, I'm still going to double George. If Ayuk is out there, it changes things.
Whoever, if they picked a wide receiver at 51, or let's say they trade up for a wide receiver into the 40s or something like that, Steelers are going to believe in that guy.
For sure.
And he may well be a player that pans out for them. But not a sure thing.
Right, exactly. Ayuk is a sure thing.
Exactly. So it's about filling your needs by whatever means possible. But if you have an opportunity to get a sure thing, and it's going to cost you XYZ down the road in terms of next year's second round pick and in terms of the money you're going to have to pay out against the salary cap, so be it.
Yeah.
Because you've fixed a position. You can't go into the year with only George Pickens and then a rookie, because then you consider the leadership element of all that.
That room?
George Pickens is the best receiver in that room, and maybe Quez Watkins and Van Jefferson can bring a little perspective, but come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Brandon Ayuk changes the whole dynamic there, which I think is another reason why you would make a move like this. All right, now for our Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. If Sidney Crosby didn't score on the penalty shot last night, and it was a make-or-break moment for the Penguins, would we have crushed him today? Can you imagine that, man? Penguins are down by a goal. Crosby gets the penalty shot, and it's for all the marbles. It sends you to overtime in a game that you desperately need the 2 points out of. He's been the one guy that was Teflon this year. We've criticized Sullivan. We've criticized everybody. The power play, Reardon, Carlson, Letang, Malkin. Crosby's been the guy that has skated by with 94 points. Nobody puts this season on him. If the exact scenario presented itself last night and he failed, when it's mano a mano, he and the Islanders goalie for everything, and he fails, we would have had to kill him today.
Yep, we'd crush him.
In an alternate universe, we are crushing Sidney Crosby today. And I think he would have deserved it. This isn't the whole David Bednar booing thing. I would never boo Sidney Crosby. If it had happened at home, I'm not booing Sidney Crosby. But we sure as you know what would have criticized him today.
Oh, yeah. For today and all the way until the next season.
That would... What we talked in the very first segment of the show today about the moving of the goalposts now and what we expect from this Penguins franchise moving forward with Sidney Crosby at the helm for the latter portion of his career. And we talked about the obituary of this era of Pittsburgh Penguins ice hockey and how no one's going to remember the bad. That would have been a bad moment people would have remembered.
There's no doubt about it.
And it would have been deserved. We've got Social Media's Biggest Loser coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Some of the Penguins are going to talk today. Kyle Dubas giving his press conference tomorrow at 10 a.m. The state of the Penguins, if you will. So we'll have some of the player stuff to react to tomorrow, and then the rest of the shows will have the Dubas stuff to get into. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Right now, though, the Social Media's Biggest Loser segment is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm a big loser here because I managed the clock as poorly as I did. So we don't have time to play this. There is a gut-wrenching video out there right now, relatively speaking. One of the Arizona Coyotes broadcasters saying farewell to the viewers because they're going to be moving. And man, there are deaths in the family, deaths of pets. There are real life things that hurt. As a sports fan, I could not imagine anything worse than my favorite team getting yanked away from here.
Yeah, that'd be a wild feeling.
I mean, we're not that far off. A bounce of a lottery ball here or there, the Penguins not being here.
Yeah.
And the casino deal, the whole thing that went on back in the day, that would have been demoralizing. And I know that the issue with Arizona, one of them, is that they don't have this overwhelmingly large fan base. But the people who care, care. Mm-hmm. And those people, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
That really sucks for them. And it stinks for the players, all of whom were given certain assurances not that long ago, and then they find out that the team and their families are going to have to be uprooted. And people don't care about the millionaire athletes, whatever, I get it. Those are people, and that sucks for everyone involved there.
Think about Oakland.
That really hurts.
Oh,
we've seen how that place rocks when they've been good, and they've been playing in a dump forever. Why don't fans show up? Because you're playing in a cinder block. You're playing in the inside of a cinder block. Anytime a team loses a franchise, it hurts. I was there the final season of the St. Louis Cardinals, or the St. Louis Rams, excuse me, and I talked to some of those employees there. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
People losing jobs. Now, new jobs will be created in a new place, but you know, to gain something's one thing because you never had it in the first place, but to lose something, heart goes out to the Arizona Coyotes fans. And so the losers are the ownership group there. Those are the real losers. Tomorrow should be fun. No Pirates tonight. Penguins obviously not playing. So we're going to be all over the place.
Yes, we are.
Can't wait for it, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Joe Starkey up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. SunChevy.com. Today, high 72.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.